So here we have John the Baptist doing his thing as a local preacher in the New Testament and around the place of Bethany. But when he was there the next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him. "There is the Lamb of God," he said, "who takes away the sin of the world. It is he whom I have said, after me, there comes a man who ranks ahead of me. Before I was born, he already was. I did not know who he was, but the reason why I came baptizing in water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified again, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven like a dove and come to rest on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize in water had told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and rest is the one who is to baptize in Holy Spirit.' I have seen it, and I have borne witness. This is God's chosen one." And the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples when Jesus passed by. And John looked towards him and said, "There is the Lamb of God." And when two of his disciples heard what he had said, they followed Jesus. And he turned and saw them following. "What are you looking for?" he asked. And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he replied. And so they went and saw where he was staying and spent the rest of the day with him. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who followed Jesus after hearing what John had said was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The first thing he did was to find his brother Simon and say to him, "We have found the Messiah," which in the Hebrew is Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," that is Peter, "the rock." Amen.
Thank you, David. Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany, as we move forwards in the church year from that moment when the Magi represented the first Gentiles to bear witness to the emerging new covenant embodied in Jesus, and thereby signalling the message that Jesus is for everyone. A time for us to reflect on our call to bear witness to Christ's message. If we fast forward that mission and that message to the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas set out on their first missionary journey and they arrived in Antioch, well, they had a ding-dong argument with some members of the local Jewish community about how widely the good news should be spread. But which bit of the Bible did they quote from in that argument? Our first reading this morning, Isaiah. In this reading, we see the words of Isaiah projecting forwards, anticipating the good news and the coming of Jesus. The reading forms part of what is called the Second Servant Song. It's one of the four servant songs that appears in Isaiah. All four songs describe the character of the coming Messiah as the Lord's servant and the work that he will do in and for the world. Our text this morning emphasizes that the Messiah's mission and calling will be there for everyone in the world. And this is what Paul and Barnabas draw on in Antioch. They restate verse 6. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This moment is pivotal to the mission of Paul and Barnabas, because from here they kick on and really start to deliver the new covenant to the Gentiles. Good news for us then. Rooted in the old covenant, prophets like Isaiah carried a hope and a deep faith for a distant future they would never see in their time on earth. When we read books in the Old Testament like Isaiah, we see a glimpse of the yearning that people of faith must have lived with before the good news. Now, the last of the great prophets, John the Baptist, sits on the cusp in human history of that moment between the old and the new covenants. In our gospel reading, we see a moment when John spots Jesus walking towards him. Can you imagine being John the Baptist in that moment? Can you imagine walking through Easingworld and you see the one person who will change the world forever coming towards you and give you the joy that comes from that certain hope in our salvation through that person in front of you? No wonder that John the Baptist can barely contain himself. You can feel the joy and the hope bursting out of him. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Imagine. But, what happens next to John? If we look at the Gospel of Matthew, we see something else happen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 says this. When John, who is in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? What happened to all that hope? There are lots of reasons why John may be expressing doubt. Partly, it could be ideas around who the Messiah would be and how they would act. That the Messiah would come down and overturn the world order, dispensing judgment and justice. And instead, well, not a lot has happened, apparently. Not only that, the existing local corrupt power is very much alive and well, and has just chucked John in prison. Also, John may have thought that his ministry might continue, that he would continue to be part of this story, and would be able to support Jesus. So he may be feeling hurt, abandoned even. John perhaps doubts the hopes that he had. Now, the revolutionary and first president of the Czech Republic, Václav Havel, has a great quote about what hope means that speaks as Christians about our faith. This is what he said. Hope is an orientation of the spirit, an orientation of the heart. It transcends the world that is immediately experienced and is anchored somewhere beyond its horizons. It is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense, regardless of how it turns out. How I miss someone of the stature and maturity of Václav Havel on the world stage right now. The quote speaks to our faith. Whatever happens in our time on earth, whether for good or ill, we have that certain hope in our salvation through Jesus. But in having that certain hope, that certain conviction, there is also the recognition that things may not turn out so well for us. The difference between the John we see in our gospel reading today and the John we see in Matthew is a reflection of the highs and lows of ordinary life and faith. In Matthew, we see in an example of things not turning out well at all. John is in a bad place. More than that, it's an example of where hope shrinks or fails. Even the mighty John the Baptist is full of doubt. But in Matthew, the way that Jesus responds gives back hope to John. Jesus says something which is intended to get back to John, even though he's in prison. Just as much as the words of Jesus are intended for the people around him and for us. Jesus says, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Isaiah again. In other words, from Jesus to John, this is a massive arm around the shoulders. Thumbs up. Everything you've worked for, everything you believe. Yes. This is it, mate. But Jesus doesn't stop there. In our gospel reading this morning, this message is extended to us. The invitation that is given to the disciples is also an invitation to us. Come and see. Come and see. We are invited on a journey of faith through our lives, where we carry in our hearts that certain hope of salvation through Jesus. And the doubt that John experiences in Matthew is something that we can also take from. There may be times when things don't turn out well for us. There may be times when our own hope for ourselves and those we love around us shrinks or fails, or we doubt our hope in God. Yet God will always be alongside us, holding us in his care. He listens. In the words of the psalm at the start of the service, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. But this also speaks to how we can be for people around us, how we model our behaviours. It's my work lanyard. I have to put this on, otherwise they won't let me in. But I'm also actually quite proud to wear this. I work for a charity based in York, and although we deliver services across the UK, we're in contact with about 200,000 families every year. Central to the charity's work is to provide grants to families on low incomes raising disabled or seriously ill children. So, for example, it might be when a fridge or a cooker breaks, we can provide a grant for a family to go and get it replaced. Part of my job is to send out surveys to the families to get feedback from them to make sure that we are providing as a charity the best service that we can for them. On the surveys that go out, there's a space at the end of the survey to people to write whatever they like. And it can be anything. And people do. They write anything. So when the surveys come back in, one thing I do is to check through them to make sure that people are safe. Because not everybody is. Sometimes, occasionally, people describe very desperate situations. Not just things that are happening to them in their lives, but occasionally describing how they or their loved ones turn in on themselves. Self-harm, contemplate suicide. Now we have a dedicated safeguarding team in the charity who can reach out and offer support. But our charity is nothing exceptional. We are just one of hundreds and hundreds of charities all across the country. We all see and hear the same things. There are just so many people around us living with an absence of hope, in despair, who cannot see a future with them in it. A profound sense of loneliness. And as individuals, we can't take away the situation they are in. We cannot solve the poverty or the challenges they are facing. But we can reach out and listen. There's a fundamental humanity in having that connection by listening. And there have been such massive changes in the way that services in our society function in the last few years. Certainly, and in particular, with the development of artificial intelligence, a growing automation of services, that people are increasingly expected now to talk to a robot or an automated service. There is a growing imperative for us as Christians to reach out and listen. Let's join together in our next hymn, singing the Faith 407, Hear the Call of the Kingdom.
Ooh.